You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, ABC, who is owned by Disney, announced that late-night host Jimmy Kimmel was to be suspended indefinitely after pressure from the FCC and President Donald Trump's administration over comments he made related to the aftermath of Charlie Kirk's assassination. Yesterday, Disney announced that Kimmel would be reinstated and would continue hosting the show starting today. This follows news from July when it was announced that CBS would be ending the Late Show franchise at the end of the season, which is currently hosted by Stephen Colbert, after similar pressure from the Trump administration. After Kimmel's suspension reports followed, which estimated that Disney had lost a reported $3.8 billion in market value, along with this, many actors involved with Disney in the past and present promoted cancellation of Disney Plus subscriptions to their fans through social media, with many hundreds of celebrities, including Meryl Streep, Jennifer Aniston, and Robert De Niro, signing a letter where they backed Kimmel. To discuss these events and how they impact free speech in the United States, I spoke to Stephen Hoadley, a retired professor in international relations and editor of a series of books on international human rights. First of all, what did you make of Kimmel's comments and initial suspension?
Well, the comments themselves seemed fairly anodyne, fairly ordinary in the context of the comedy show that it is. We have to remember that comedy at basis is always making fun of somebody. That is, there's always a butt of the joke. So comedy by its very nature is critical. Because somebody is going to be offended. I mean, the whole joke turns on the surprising offense to somebody or something or some situation. So to curb Jimmy Kimmel or any other comedian or entertainer for comedic comments on current affairs is to stifle the whole notion of comedy as a means of human expression.
And can you explain corporate media responsibility in the United States? Did the FCC have any right to put pressure on Disney and ABC to suspend Kimmel?
Excellent question about the authority of the FCC. We have to remember that all of the media corporations in the United States are corporations first and media second. Our ideal of Watergate and Woodward and Bernstein and the heroes, the pen is mightier than the sword. The reality is that the dollar is more mighty than the sword, and media organizations like Disney, which owns ABC, can take Jimmy Kimmel or anybody else off the air for a number of reasons, usually because they're not popular and they're not earning enough money, but also because of ideological prejudice, which I believe is the case here, or because of pressure from the FCC. Now, if ABC had done this and said that Kimmel's comments were off color and insensitive in the situation, we would not be having this conversation. We would say, well, ABC is a little bit oversensitive, but they'll come back to the center. But the fact that Brendan Carr, a Trump appointee as director of the FCC, weighed in and said we can do this the easy way or the hard way, then puts a whole new complexion, points to government intervention into the area of media, and then that raises the fundamental issues of the First Amendment to the Constitution of the protection of free speech. So the Jimmy Kimmel incident and the Stephen Colbert incident that preceded it are really indicators of much more fundamental issues.
How does this impact free speech in America? Does Kimmel's reinstation indicate that Trump crossed the line here?
Well, we'd like to think so, that ABC had a second thought, that they were indeed counter-pressured by Meryl Streep and all of the other, Robert De Niro and all of my favorite actors and actresses who signed this massive petition, the American Writers Guild, the American Civil Liberties Association, liberals right across the spectrum of the center right, all criticized this decision, and that maybe the ABC took this into account, that this was an important audience, and to curb a popular program, which looked like it was being curbed because of Trump's governmental pressure, was not a good look, and in fact would lose the ABC and Disney more money than it would gain. So there are various things in play here, including the fact that ABC wanted to have mergers that required FCC approval, that the FCC does have the power to take stations off the air. It has to show cause, of course, that the public have strong but polarized views, polarized between conservative and liberal in the United States. So this is a complex issue that it brings up a number of different fundamental concerns about the future. Well, we could even say the future of American democracy.
How would you define free speech? And do you think President Trump shares the same definition?
Well, I think we can say at the beginning that no, President Trump does not share any reasonable definition of free speech. Free to him means it agrees with him, and it doesn't apply to those who criticize him. But on the border issue, the International Declaration of Political and Civil Rights does protect freedom of opinion and freedom of speech, freedom of association, and so forth. But there are limits, and the limits are national security, public order, public health, public morals, the rights of others and reputations. And in the New Zealand Civil Rights Act, there are also some limitations having to do with causing ethnic dissent and distress. And in civil law, there are, of course, laws against fraud, against deceptive advertising, against slander of the reputation of an individual or a rival corporation. So speech is not free. It's conditional. But the default option is speech should be free unless there are specified exceptions. Those specified exceptions are laid out clearly in law. People can operate confident that they can predict where they will be able to operate and where they should not say. And ultimately, the courts then will decide in those tricky borderline cases. And this is as it should be. Well, Trump now is rubbishing courts and rubbishing conventions. The normal guidelines, guide rails are being pushed over, and he's using the office of the presidency as a political weapon to curb his opponent. So we on the right, on the left of the political spectrum, the liberal side of the political spectrum, certainly deplore this whole way of operating by the Trump administration and his many appointed cronies who are following his lead. We hope that the courts will eventually strike down many of his actions. The specification of Antifa as a terrorist organization, for example, is plainly against American domestic law. American domestic law does not provide for designating domestic organizations as terrorists. And so, again, this will go to the courts, and hopefully the courts will find against Trump, and hopefully Trump will respect the courts. Well, we live in hope.
What do you think Trump's main goal was behind this?
Well, Trump seeks more power. He seeks profit. He's using the office of the presidency and his promotion of bitcoins and real estate ventures in Vietnam or wherever. His personal family fortune is ballooning. It's all, and he's able to do this because of the office of the presidency, the prestige that it conveys, the special deals that he can make, getting a free airliner, for example, the perks of the office from Qatar, a fairly suspect state with regard to its hosting of Hamas leaders. Trump is distorting the office of the presidency for personal gain and for amassing greater power. And the sad thing is that dozens upon dozens of his associates and enablers and half of the U.S. Senate and half of the House of Representatives, the Republicans, are going along with it. And that a certain portion of the American population, although that's shrinking very rapidly, Trump's approval rating is underwater, but that's ineffective until the next election. So the feeling is that the Trump administration and Trump the man are violating the norms of American political discourse. But at the moment, there doesn't seem to be any effective counteraction. That is, the Democrats have not rallied behind an effective and persuasive leader. They are in a minority. They are constantly outvoted and outflanked either by the Republican majority or by the executive orders by Trump himself and his various enablers. And so the American political situation, well, people from outside, like from New Zealand, look and despair about how the United States is self-destructing.
Do you think Trump was successful in proving his power, given that ABC did cave into the pressure and suspend Kimmel?
Yeah, there's no doubt that Brendan Carr, the Trump appointee who runs the FCC, by his threats, were able to tip the balance. Now, there may have been other factors as well, but the fact that the FCC has to approve various corporate deals that Disney and FCC want to make, and also the affiliate station. We have to remember that there are two affiliate stations that run local networks in the various states. One's called Sinclair, the other's called Next Star. And they are, Kimmel is not back on the air with them. They have the corporate prerogative of changing programming, and Kimmel is, if not, ABC has got him on at the national level, but the affiliate stations are free to keep him off the air or anybody else they don't like, particularly in the conservative states, the so-called red states, and they are exercising that prerogative. But it's certainly clear to critics on the left of the political spectrum that this unfair and possibly illegal intervention by the FCC at the behest of Trump himself is improper, illegal, and is tipping the corporate balance against a robust public dialogue and against the First Amendment free speech protections.
And that was retired professor in international relations Stephen Hoadley on Jimmy Kimmel's recent suspension and later reinstation, and why the main goal of President Donald Trump's administration is to gain and use power as a political weapon to take out his opponents.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.